And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Coming to you from Austin, Texas, but being heard around the world thanks to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and, of course, Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, which broadcasts from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, today we've got secrets. I always love secrets because, you know, I just take whatever I want from my files. And, man, do I have some stuff in my files. Oh, boy, you ought to see. It's just jam-packed with stuff. And some of it is just dying to get out. Well, I'm sort of attributing to papers a life of their own. But, you know, sometimes my papers do have a life of their own. And today we're going to talk about Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra and what he said. Oh, my. We'll talk about that. And, of course, Vladimir Putin. You know, Russia did everything. That's what the Democrat Party says. Whatever happens, Russia did it. Did your local neighborhood bank get robbed recently? Well, Russia did it. Did you get a traffic ticket? Well, it's not your fault. Russia did it. You know, Russia did everything. Well, Putin did do something. He really did. And I like what he did. Oh, I'm colluding with Russia on this. Isn't that shameful? I am a disgrace. Tex Mars is a disgrace. But you see, I don't think that you're any different than me. I mean, I think you would like what Vladimir Putin did. Isn't that shameful? Well, it's really not. In fact, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing that you and I feel. But I'll tell you what Vladimir Putin did and why he's got the world angry at him. No wonder Russia did it. It's funny. Well, CNN reporter Dana Bash, strange looking lady. And, you know, she's a blonde, and I don't know why they hired her. Well, I think I do know why they hired her, and we're going to tell you about that. It seems that she's revealed to be a member of the CIA, but she works for CNN. Well, that's what we know of many news people. You know, the CIA operated something they call it Operation Mockingbird. Now, what does a mockingbird do? It mocks and it mimics. And whatever the one bird does, another bird does. Well, a mockingbird can sort of mock them all. Well, that's what, you know, CIA people, they're deceivers. They really are. You know, even the ones that are supposed to be for the United States and working on our side. Well, John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy said, I'm going to break them up. I'm going to break the CIA up into 1,000 pieces. He said that only a few months before he died. He didn't think too highly of the CIA, did he? I don't think very highly of them either. Oh, I know. Oh, you can't be saying that about our Central Intelligence Agency. Why, they're wonderful people. Baloney! The world would be a better place without the CIA. But then we wouldn't learn all those secrets. Yeah, then they wouldn't be able to make up all those secrets. Fake news, folks. Well, we've got all these things. And listen, you know, one of my joys is to go onto the internet and to research what the Jewish websites are saying. You can find interesting info, and they think only the Jews are reading their websites. They don't know that somebody like Tex Mars is going to go in there and find stuff. But I do. And then Jews write to me and they say, that wasn't on our website. That couldn't be true. Well, see, the problem is that I make copies of it. I make hard copies of things that I find on the internet. I make hard copies and I pull them out. And I say, well, now that was Rabbi so-and-so that said this. And this was by, you know, so, and then they get all flustered.
Well, I know he said that, but,
Well, he said it. Yes, he did. And he meant it. He didn't mean it for me, though. He meant it for, you know, Hebrews, for Jews out there. But I intercepted it. That's right. I intercepted it. And I've got it right here. And we're going to talk about global warming. You know, no program would be complete without global warming. Do you believe in global warming? Do you believe in climate change? Well, you know, they had to change it from global warming to, they gave it a new name, climate change, because global warming wasn't working out. It seems that the world wasn't getting warmer and warmer, so they had to change it to climate change. Now, everybody must admit, you must admit that climate change happens. Well, yeah, because, you know, yesterday it was like 85 in Texas, and today it's like, you know, 78. Climate change occurs. Sometimes it snows. Sometimes it rains. I'm not a denier. I believe in it. Now, man has nothing to do with it. Of course, God decides what the weather's going to be like. And we try to manipulate it and try to change it. And we spend millions, billions of dollars for weapons of war, weather weapons. You know, I read in the year 2000, the United States Air Force put out a report, and they called it Weather War 2020. By 2020, they said, we will control the weather. Well, they hadn't stopped the tornadoes occurring, have they? They haven't stopped the few hurricanes that we've been having. I don't even think they can stop an earthquake out in California. But they say, we will control the weather. Well, big, big talk. We'll see. So let's get right into it, okay, folks, to secrets. It's great stuff here. Now, Rabbi Abraham ben Israel. You know, I said in my newsletter and in my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, that many rabbis admit that in their Kabbalah, which they believe in fact, they believe in it more than the Bible. They say it is superior to the Holy Bible. Now, get that. The rabbis say that their Kabbalah is superior to the Holy Bible. And one of these rabbis was a rabbi named Abraham ibn Ezra, E-Z-R-A. Now, he died. He was over in Europe. And according to Wikipedia, he was one of the most distinguished Jewish Bible commentators and philosophers of the Middle Ages. Wow. Now, he lived, his lifespan went from 1089 to 1167, a long time ago. Now, you remember that Jesus said of the Jews, you have for your religion not Abraham, not the prophets, not the old, no, you have for your religion the tradition of the elders. What did that mean? The traditions of men, Jesus also said. Now, folks, if that's your religion, then you believe in what man says. For example, man says there's global warming. Man caused it. That's my religion. Well, if that's your religion, then great. Go to it. But that's not what the Bible says. And you know, the American Atheist Foundation says there is no God. And truth is what we, you know, research and our scientists say it is. That's the traditions of the elders. They say Albert Schweitzer, let's see, who else? Albert Einstein and, I mean, all the great scientists, you know, Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and, you know, all of the great scientists have given us all this wisdom. That's what the scientists say they believe in. That's the traditions. See, the traditional wisdom of the ancients, of the elders, so-called. But Jesus said that's not what the Old Testament says. They said, we have for our father Abraham, they told Jesus. They got angry at him, see? The Jews did. And they said, we have for our father Abraham. He says, no, you don't. I know you're the physical seed of Abraham, he says, but listen to me, Jesus said. If you believed, if you really had faith in Abraham, you would believe in me. But They didn't believe in Jesus. They rejected him. They sent him to the cross to die in agony and pain. They said, we believe in the ancients. We believe in the great rabbis who lived before. Well, now, one of the teachings of the rabbis, even in Jesus' days, evidently was of the serpent. You see, the serpent went to the Garden of Eden. There he was in the Garden of Eden, and he told Adam and Eve, you know, did God really say you would die if you ate of this tree? You surely will not die. He was contradicting God, wasn't he? And so they ate of the tree. But what happened? They immediately became subject to death. Well, now Abraham Ibn Ezra was a rabbi. Now, he died about 1167. That's a long time ago. Now, let me tell you what he said. Well, first of all, let's go back to Jesus. Jesus says not only did the Jews have for their religion the traditions or the teachings of the elders of their own men, their famous sages, the rabbis, but he said, you're of the serpent. You're vipers, he said. You're of the serpent. And Jesus knew the serpent. He knew Satan. In fact, Jesus knew the very moment when Satan was thrown out of heaven. He was cast out. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Wow. He was there. He was with God. He was God. And Jesus cast the devil out of heaven. He said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Man, he fell evidently to somewhere near earth. He's in the air above us. He's the prince of the power of the air. And he's God with a small g, of course, a non-capital. We call it lowercase, don't we, in English? G, he's God. He's God of this world for now. Now, I want you to understand that. When I say that Satan is God of this world, that doesn't mean he's God of you and me. Now, they say there's 7 billion people on this planet. I don't know how many Christians there are. There are quite a few. They are the minority. We're definitely not the majority by any means. But I want to tell you something, my friends. You're not of this world. That's what Jesus said. I have chosen you out of this world. I kid my wife sometimes. I said, you know, you're an extraterrestrial. You're not of this world. You're very special. Well, she is special. She was chosen by God. And if you're chosen by God, you're special too. Now, there's nothing about your flesh that's special or nothing that you did, but you did have faith. That's something. In fact, that's very powerful. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, then he accepts that and he chooses you out of this world. But the others are in the world. But he says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Do you get the distinction there, friends? You see, there are two masters in this universe. There's Jesus, our Lord. And then there's the lower master. The lower master. The inferior. The one who has a master over him. Now that's Satan. You say, oh no, they're competing with each other. Satan is equal, and they're going to have a big battle up in the heavens, and Armageddon's going to occur. And wait just a minute, folks, you get ahead of yourself. That was already decided. That was when Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. He was cast out. That has already occurred. And so God chose you from the foundation of the world. Before the world ever began, he chose you. You say, wait just a minute, I wasn't born. I wasn't even part of the sperm. Well, okay. But he chose you. He knew you. He knew what you were going to become. And so you did become that because he knew you beforehand. Isn't that wonderful? And he chose you out of this world. And so you're just passing through. You're just a pilgrim. He brought you nigh unto Zion one day. I don't know what day it was. I bet you know. I bet you know the day you were chosen by God. Oh, yes, you do. You remember that, don't you? I talked to somebody and said, well, I know I'm a Christian, but I can't remember when I became one. Ooh, I'm going to be a doubter here. I'm going to be a skeptic, friend. Now, the interesting thing is, you're not of this world, and you're not susceptible to this world. Your flesh is. And, you know, if you're frightened of the flesh, then you're foolish as a Christian. Because Jesus said, fear not he who can kill the body. You say, well, wait just a minute. Satan is in charge of America. Satan has such power. The non-Christian have such money. And these evil people, they rule over me. Wait just a minute, folks. They don't rule over your heart. They don't rule over your spirit. They don't have you in their grasp. Jesus has you in the palm of his hand, and the devil can do nothing with you. Even were he to kill you, he's a failure. He's a loser. He's a colossal loser. Jesus said, fear not he who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and the soul. Oh my. Now that sends chills down my back. There's only one who can take the body and the soul. Satan can kill your body. And then you will live forever and ever and ever in happiness and joy and contentment with Jesus Christ. And you know, they can build you a monument. They can build you a huge tomb, or they can put a tombstone or a cross and say, here lies so-and-so, R.I.P., rest in peace. And eventually that tomb will be gone. It'll probably dissolve, or the elements of weather will destroy it. But you'll live on in heaven. Yes, he can take your body, but he can't take you. He can't take your soul. Oh, no. And the soul is what matters. The soul is eternal. So you have to understand this. You know, I don't worry about what Satan's going to do to me. He could put me in a concentration camp if God allows him. See, God's my protector. And I ask God to protect me, and he has so far. But he may someday say, okay, you can have him now, Satan. For just a little while, you have his body. You remember what happened to Job? Oh, boy, the devil tormented Job. He tortured him. And he had sores on his body. It was a horrible situation. But he never got into his soul. And even his friends turned against him, and they said, why don't you just curse God and go die? Wow. Can you imagine your friends saying that? You're on the corner, you've lost your home, you've lost everything, you've lost all your riches, and there you are as a poor beggar, begging, you have sores all over your body, you're in aching pain, and you would love a little sympathy from your former friends, and they see you and they say, die, just die. We don't even want to see you die, and first though curse God, they say, then die. Wow. But Job never cursed God. He never cursed God. He belonged to God. He had faith in God. And so God redeemed him. God took care of him. He was victorious over the devil. That's how you're going to be victorious too. Well, these Jews believed in Satan. They believed in the serpent. They were vipers, Jesus said. And in fact, Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra was one of the most famous rabbis of all time. That's why he made Wikipedia. And let me tell you what he said. He said the Jews have a Messiah. It's not Jesus. The Messiah of the Jews is the holy serpent. Oh, boy. The Messiah of the Jews is the holy serpent. You know, and I mentioned that in my books, in my newsletter, that I mentioned Rabbi Ben Ezra. And I got a letter from a Jewish gentleman, and he said, I've never heard of Rabbi Ben Ezra. He was insinuating that maybe I made that up. Maybe Rabbi Ben Ezra doesn't exist. This is what a Jewish guy told me. So I wrote him back a nice letter, and I told him, you might want to check your Google. You might want to do a little research. You might want to check the Wikipedia. Find out about Rabbi Abraham Ezra. Back in the 1100s, he said, our Messiah is the holy serpent. Oh, yes, I quoted him correctly. And he does exist. He's one of the most famous elders in the Jewish faith. And I quoted him correctly. Well, you have to understand. Now, let's talk about Vladimir Putin. Old Vladimir. Listen to this. This is why I like him. I like the guy. And he hasn't invaded any countries. He went down to Crimea, and the Crimean people, he had a plebiscite down there, a vote. And I think it was 96% of the people voted that they wanted to leave Ukraine and join with Russia. See, there were a lot of Russians living in Crimea. And so Putin sent in his troops and said, okay, now Crimea is going to be part of Russia. Oh, the United States riled up about that. Oh, the European community, they're angry. Oh, you taking over Crimea. That's terrible. Whatever happened to sovereignty, folks? The people of Crimea voted themselves. They voted in Russia. They must like Putin. Now, let me tell you why they like Putin. Many of the people of Crimea are Christians. They're Christians. And Vladimir Putin says he's a Christian. He says, I believe in the Orthodox faith. Now, evidently, Christians have been deceived by our government that Putin is a bad, bad man. In fact, the Russians do everything wrong. Oh, my. We got to protect ourselves from these mean old Russians. Here's one thing he did that made him mad, made everybody mad. Are you mad about this? Said Putin gave a speech back during Christmas. He said, quote, listen to this now. The new world order is normalizing pedophilia in the West. He said the pedophiles are growing in numbers and strength and influence in the West, in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in the United States. The pedophiles are growing more powerful. And I, Vladimir Putin, and the Russian people are opposed to this. Ooh, it made them mad. It made the homosexuals mad. They want pedophilia to be acknowledged and accepted. And Vladimir Putin actually had a press conference. He said the Western liberal elites are abandoning the traditional values that made their countries great. Instead of building a future based on solid Christian values, he said, the Western elites have created a culture of, quote, excessive, exaggerated political correctness. They're politically correct. He says the political correctness in the West, that's in the United States and Europe, is so destructive that it will eventually lead to the downfall of Western civilization if it is not arrested. Wow. He gave a 4-hour interview in which he said there is an international push for a new world order that will remove national sovereignty and destroy the identity of God-created diversity. Wow. That's what they're doing in America. We had white people, we had black people, but now they want to mix us all together. They're bringing all these Asians in and Mexicans in, and they're mixing us all together, and they're saying we want diversity. They don't understand God already created diversity. He created nations that were dissimilar, but all of mankind has souls, has hearts. They can accept Jesus Christ or reject him. He said that Western elites, Putin said this, have begun rejecting the roots that their very societies are built upon. Let me tell you what he said. He says, quote, many Western states, that's the United States now, have taken the way where they deny or reject their own roots, including their Christian roots, which form the basis of Western civilization. In these countries, said Putin, the moral basis and any traditional identity are being denied. National, religious, cultural, and even gender identities are being denied. Well, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. Well, you look like it. Take off all your clothes and I can tell you're a boy. No, I'm a girl. I want to be a girl. Well, really? You're just a confused person, that's all. It is sick. And you know, Putin, he understands. He says in these countries, politics treats a family with many children as equal to a homosexual partnership. You can't have two men marrying each other and then you give them children to keep. Boy, God's going to hold you responsible. These are excesses. These are exaggerations. This is political correctness. And he says they even promote the propaganda of pedophilia. I said much more. That's why the West hates Putin. He doesn't go for a homosexual society. He doesn't believe that men can marry men and women marry women. He doesn't believe transgenderism. He doesn't believe that, what's this Jenner character of the Kardashian clan who said, I was a man, but I'm now a woman. No, you're not. You're just an ugly, ugly man. So this is a great statement. I understand why they hate Putin. He opposes the political correctness. He opposes the pedophiles in society. He opposes the homosexual marriage. He says, we're not going to have that in Russia. And so the homosexuals hate him. They want to stop him. He's not doing anything wrong. He's doing everything right. Now, I've said that Vladimir Putin needs to be given the Nobel Peace Prize. He should come to America and we Christians should hold parades. We should hold ticker tape parades in the cities and thank him for standing for Christianity. Why can't we have a president like that? Why do we have to have a Bill Clinton, a George Bush, evil, filthy, dirty men? Why? Well, thank God for Vladimir Putin, I say. Now, I know the press is going to say, that Tex Mars is terrible. He's a horrible person. Well, so I am. And this ministry is going to keep going. You know why? Because, friends, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I stand for goodness, for righteousness. You know I want all of our children to succeed. I don't want them to be taken in by these pedophiles and perverted and corrupted. And for that, they say, Tex Mars, he's an anti-Semite. Oh, yeah, sure. I don't worry about these people that accuse me of things. I don't worry. You know, I wrote the book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews, and it's selling just great. In fact, when the World Zionist Congress called me a notorious anti-Semite, and when Amazon banned this book, of all books, you can buy the Satanic Bible, but you can't buy my book from Amazon. Well, Christians stepped in and said, I want that book. I want to know what Tex Mars wrote. I want to know the truth. And you will know the truth. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Isn't that great? You want to feel free? You want to be free? Listen to Vladimir Putin. Listen to Tex Mars. But listen most of all to Jesus Christ and his word. Now let's go for a little break. I'll be right back in just a minute. We're going to cover much more. Oh, we've got so much more. I've got these Jewish websites. They're incredible. And I've got the CIA and Dana Bash. I'll be right back after this message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. You know, I want to tell you about a book we have. It's an interesting book. It's by Mike King, a good friend of mine. It's called the bad war. The bad war. You know, people call World War II the good war. Well, Mike King says there is no good war. And he says World War II is the bad war. And you know, Amazon has censored his book. They banned it. They don't like people to tell anyone that the World War II was a bad war. They want it to be the good war. The good war when the Nazis were demolished. That's the good war. But Mike King tells the truth about World War II. You'll know about Joseph Stalin and Winston Churchill. And of course, our president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. All in bed together and doing some pretty dirty deeds. Now, we had some good men, too, by the way. Douglas MacArthur. We had some great men in World War II. And, of course, the common soldier, I don't like to call him common, I call him heroic. Whatever your role is, you're heroic. And why do I say that? Because I was in the Air Force for 20 years. I met a lot of heroic people. A lot of, and a few of my friends lost their lives. And I still remember them. And they were heroic. They served. And today we have a nation in which the majority of the millennials, so-called, don't want to serve. Well, that's their tragedy. And it's our shame. But these men who did serve, I hold them up high. I believe Mike King would too. You see, his book is not about the everyday soldier. His book is not about the Douglas MacArthurs. No, no. His book will tell you about the truth. How millions of Germans died in concentration camps. Run by who? Ooh, not the Nazis. It's an amazing story. And many women were raped and killed. Many, many, in fact, hundreds of thousands were raped and killed by Russian soldiers. And they don't want to tell you about that. But Mike King does. Now, we have his book here. Jerry, how much does the book, this $25? Okay, it's $25. It's a big format book. And I had Mike King on. I guess we still have that audio tape, the CD. If you wanted to get the audio tape or the CD of my interview of Mike King, please send an additional $10 and ask for the CD of The Bad War. But the book itself is $25. Now, you can't buy it from Amazon anymore. And I suspect you can't buy it from any bookstore. But you can buy it from Power of Prophecy Ministries. It's a truthful book. And Mike King is a good man. He tells the truth. I like him. You know, I just like people that tell the truth. They're fun to be around. You can trust them. you know what they're like. And he's a great researcher. Mike King. His book, The Bad War, $25. A lot of pictures in the book and a lot of facts. And Amazon says, we will not sell your book anymore because of its content. Really? Amazon, just like my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, they don't like its content either. Now, if they would have wrote to us a text, you told a lot of lies in this book. We can't offer it. They don't do that. It's a truthful book. And I say, Amazon, you're the loser, because we're going to sell many book copies of this book. God is going to put it in the hands of everybody who wants it. Isn't that an amazing thing? That's the way God works. I suspect people are just going to go down and they're going to be looking at powerofprophecy.com, and they're going to run across my book and say, ooh, I like that book. Then they're going to go to Amazon and try to buy it, and they can't. They're going to come back to powerofprophecy.com. He says, you're the only place I can get that book. I said, well, that's right. Thank you for buying it. Because every cent that we sell books, every cent that we get in, stays in this ministry. I don't get royalties on my books. Now, some people think, boy, Tex Morris, he writes a lot of books. He must be getting rich. I am getting rich. I'm getting rich in knowledge. I'm getting rich in knowing these truths. And those are riches and treasures far greater than the money. The money we need for this ministry. And you know, every time I put out a book, people say, "What is your greatest thrill?" When I see the book cover, when it comes off the press, I see it all shiny and new. And we've got people here at this ministry. They're wonderful. You know, Sandra has worked here 25 years. 25 years. Wow. I don't know how she's put up with Tex Mars, but she's put up with me 25 years. And she does all the covers for the books. And you know, she loves it. I go in, she says, here's a couple of covers. Which one do you like the best? And I go, ooh, I like that one. And then about three or four days later, she'll say, well, I have another cover. I said, well, I like the other one. She said, but this is even better. She keeps working on them, you see. And I look at it and sometimes I go, ooh, that is better. Okay, go with that one then. And that's what I enjoy. I just enjoy seeing the book in print. Because I know that this is a book I'm going to offer the people out there and they're going to find out more truth. And it's so much fun. I can almost see you at home there when you order my books and you get my book, whatever the title is right now. I think my newest book is Feast of the Beast. And you're there, you know, sitting on your easy chair and you're reading this book. And I'm thinking, wow, that person is getting some truth. That's wonderful. And that's what God told me to do. Give them books, you know, and of course, I don't want you to disregard the Bible. The Bible is the greatest. It's a fantastic source, the most fantastic source. But if you have some time, get one of my books too. You'll like it. Okay. Go from the Bible and then go to my lesser book and you'll enjoy it. I know you will. I enjoy writing them. I don't say how much money is this book going to make. You know, I had a book, you know, I've written so many books and had this book title and I finished it and she says, you know, I don't think that book is going to sell well. And I said, well, it's going to do great. She says, no, I don't think so. It's not a popular topic. And I said, well, everybody that God wants it to read is going to read it. Well, she was right. It wasn't one of my bestsellers, but you know what? I enjoyed it anyway. I loved it. Well, I'm talking about myself too much. You know, I shouldn't do that. So Jerry's $25 for the book and $10 for the interview, the taped interview. Please mention it's a tape or a CD you want. That's a total of $35 or just $25 for the book alone. And then send us $5 for shipping and handling. Okay. $5 for the shipping and the handling and we'll get the book right to you and you'll enjoy it. You really will. Okay. Our address here is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to powerofprophecy.com. That's our website, powerofprophecy.com. And the book will be there. And you know how to do the click on and then use your charge card or PayPal and get the book. Or you can phone us toll free. 1-800-234-9673. All right, now let's go to our regular program. Jerry, aren't these volumes a secret? Aren't they a lot of fun? Yeah, they're just fun. I love to expose these things. Well, let's see what I've got here. Oh, yes, Ahmad Musa wrote to me, sent a letter. You see, I'd done an article, Are the Palestinians the True Racial Jews? You know, they're finding out now that the Palestinians, many of them are Muslims, but they're also racially Jews. Ooh, that's been a shock to the Jews over in Israel. With DNA, it's come out. DNA has found out that the Palestinians are the true racial Jews. And many of the Jews are not of Israel. Isn't that astonishing? The Palestinians who are Muslims are true Israel and the Jews in Israel are not. Well, that's got Christians all messed up and they're denying it. We don't believe that stuff. We don't believe the DNA science. Yeah, well, yeah. You don't believe the earth is, well, anyway. Well, Ahmad says, "Dear Tex, I came across your webpage and I find it very interesting. How did you come up with that study about Palestinians being Israelite?" Well, Ahmad, I found out from Dr. Iran Elhaik of Johns Hopkins Medical University. He's an Israeli. And of course, he's a great researcher, one of the world's top DNA scientists. So Ahmad goes on to say, "My father is a Palestinian Arab, a Muslim, and my mother is also a Palestinian Arab Muslim. My sister did a DNA test on our father, and the DNA test results came back and surprised us. It said my father is a Jew." And we were shocked. We had no idea. We had been told by the people of this country that we were Canaanites. Canaanites. If I think about it, if I have Hebrew blood, but I am really Jewish, how can I be a convert to Muslim? Well, of course, you can be anything as a Muslim. Muslim is made up of all races. Now, I'm sorry if you're a Muslim. I pray you'll be a believer in Jesus Christ and come to know Christianity as your only religion, Ahmad. But sure, your DNA shows you're a Jew. Now, Ahmad, I don't know, he evidently didn't like that. He doesn't like the Jews. They've been persecuting his people, the Palestinians, for many, many years. He said, "If I have Hebrew blood, how can I be a convert to Muslim?" Well, you can be a convert. That's no problem. But you're still going to be a Jew racially. Now, I my blood, I think, is the DNA would show I'm from Scotland, but I'm a Christian. Now, you can be from England, or you can be Jewish and be a Christian, but you can't choose your own race, but you can choose your religion. Okay, that's Ahmad. I enjoyed hearing from Ahmad, didn't you? These are the shocking things we have now with DNA science. You know, some Christian doctor, pastor wrote me the other day and he said, "You must be a notorious anti-Semite. You must be, or you wouldn't be going out talking about DNA science proving that the Jews come from Khazaria and don't, you know, come from Israel." Hey, I don't create history around here. I just tell you what history is. I mean, the DNA scientists talk about DNA. They tell me what's what. In fact, when I was a little kid, I thought that I was Irish. Yeah. You know, and on St. Patrick's Day, I get to go around and kiss all the little girls, don't I? Whether they want it or not, come here, I'm Irish. I want a kiss. No, I'm just teasing. I didn't do that. I did think about it a couple of times, but I never did it. But in any case, I thought I was Irish. I thought I had special rights on St. Patrick's Day. But I found out I wasn't Irish. I was Scottish. Now, I don't care what they say. I'm not going to wear those little skirts. Jerry, how about, you know, now you're English, right? Barrett.
I'm a mutt.
You're a mutt?
Yeah, some
English, Italian, German, Irish boy.
And there's,
he's a mutt. He's like a mongrel. He's a mixture of all. But you know, here's the good news. Well, that's good too. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you die, are you going to be that? No. That body is going to stay right here on this earth. It's going to go to dust. But you're going to be an eternal being, something. Who knows what we're going to be? Paul said we cannot even imagine it. We're going to be spirit. We're going to be like Jesus, but not Jesus, you know. Isn't that, think about that. I will not be a Scottish guy in heaven. Some people write to me, they say, "Tex, Jesus is Jewish. He's in a Jewish body in heaven." What? Jesus is beyond body, my friends. God is spirit, and you must worship him, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. No, I am definitely, I'm Mexican, or I'm, well, Oh, come on. Who cares about these bodies? You see, I'm not a racist. I don't worry about these bodies. That's why I can do books about Jews and Judaism. I can be an anti-Semite all I want to be. I'm not because I don't look at the body. If a person says I'm of the Judaic religion, then I think you got a problem. If you're of the Muslim religion, yeah, you have a problem too. That's what I look at. I look at the heart. And I guess that makes me an anti-Semite. But then on the other hand, I've exposed all these religions. I've got a whole book talking about false religions. It's called Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions. You can order that from us here. New Age Cults and Religions. I talk about all these religions that are bad. Over 100 major religions exposed in this book. So what am I, anti all of those religions? Of course I am. But I'm not anti the people. What they're doing is a sad, tragic thing. And I'll expose what they're doing, but I'm not angry at them. I'm not exposing them for, well, anyway. Hey, CNN reporter Dana Bash has been revealed as a CIA spy. And according to the internet, now you can't always trust the internet, but it says here that a fascinating report from the Kremlin says that Dana Bash has been revealed to be an intelligence operative. And she was very pro-Obama, and now she's anti-Trump. Dana Bash. Hey, news item by Mark Yost in the Dallas newspaper talks about, well, it talks about the concentration camps and what they were like right after World War II. And it seems that the United States sent photographers. You know, we had these war photographers in uniform, and they went and took a lot of pictures of the concentration camps and such. And now there's a documentary out called Filming the Camps, From Hollywood to Nuremberg. And this film is, you can get this film at the Dallas Holocaust Museum. And they place clips from all these various photographers that took these clips of these concentration camps. And it's interesting. Listen to this. In fact, they have a report there by a guy named Ivan Moffat, M-O-F-F-A-T. He was one of the photographers, and he went on to become a noted screenwriter after the war. And it says here that at Dachau, D-A-C-H-A-U, he took a number of pictures, and he had a diary. Moffat had a diary. Now, his May the 3rd, 1945 notes talk about the fact that although people say there was a crematory, that's for cremation, and a gas chamber at Dachau, he says, quote, listen, he was there. He was one of the photographers. He was charged by the U.S. Army with going into the Dachau prison camp and taking all these photographs, all these pictures of it. He would have seen the gas chamber, wouldn't he? He would have seen everything. Well, you can't deny that a Holocaust occurred because Moffat was there. He became a famous screenwriter after the war. He was there. He took the photographs. He wrote a diary of it. And what did he say? He said, quote, there is no formal proof. Wow. There is no formal proof that I can find that there was a crematory or a gas chamber at Dachau. That was, those are the notes from his diary, May 3rd, 1945. He says that formal proof would only come later. After World War II, after all of the prison camps were closed down, then came the Russians and the Americans to build little buildings and say, that was the gas chamber. Or the crematory, which, well, there was evidently, but after the war, that was the crematory. But Moffat said they didn't have any. They only came later. Boy, now this is shocking, isn't it? Well, no evidence of a Holocaust. Now listen, folks, nobody wants to be put in a concentration camp. We don't go for that. Not as Americans. We want to be free. I don't care what race or religion you are. You want to be a free person here on earth. But don't make up stories. And Moffitt wrote about it. He says, you know, these things, the Holocaust machines, he called them the engines of destruction, only came later. They weren't even there during World War II. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Hey, here's another news item. This is interesting. Now, I've talked about this before, but listen, I want to tell you about it. This is from the Tribune, the Washington Bureau. It says, a new Snowden leak. The NSA hands raw intel to Israel. Wow. Data includes emails and phone calls from U.S. citizens. Dateline Washington, this is from the newspaper now, across America, says the National Security Agency routinely shares raw intelligence data with Israel that includes information about Americans. According to the latest top secret documents leaked by former intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, the 2009 document, a memorandum of understanding between the NSA, National Security Agency, and its Israeli counterpart, says the U.S. government must regularly hand over intercepted communications that have not even been reviewed by the United States. They get all this raw data. And by the way, the NSA recently admitted that they had wiretapped, that's what they call it. They didn't call it that, but they surveyed 151 million phone calls. Can you believe that? Well, that's one gigantic tape recorder is all I can say. Well, they don't have tape recorders, but they have gigantic collection. You know, they just built a new NSA down in Utah. They say the main building is about a mile long, and it costs billions to build a building, and they've got thousands of employees in there, and all they're doing all day is wiretapping Americans. They don't have any warrant for it. And they violate, of course, our Constitution's Bill of Rights, and they collect and get an incredible amount of data, and then they turn it all over to Israel. Oh, my goodness. Israel, before the American intelligence community has even gone over this data, it goes to Israel. If you've ever talked about Israel, if you've ever said anything about Israel, they've got your name. They're watching over you, friends. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And they signed an agreement in 2009 with Israel. They agreed to give Israel all the raw intel data before even the United States had seen it. Boy. How can we have a government like that? This is a disgrace. Oh, my. Well, here's a letter from L. Pearson. He talks about the Islamic taqiyya and the kitman. Now, what is that all about? Well, he says lying and deceiving are part of the Muslim religion. Did you know that, folks? Now, in addition to the Quran, which is their Bible, they have the Hadith, which is a set of Islamic laws. And here's what the Hadith tells the Muslims. And he actually gives me the verses. And it's, by the way, it's in the Quran too. And he gives me all the verses from the Quran and from the Hadith. He says, Islamic law text teaches the following. And he says, if a praiseworthy aim is attainable through lying, you may lie about it. Wow. When it is possible to achieve such an aim by lying, it is permissible to lie. Well, that means I can't believe anything the Muslim tells me. He's going to lie. If it becomes for the good of the Muslim faith, they'll lie. Christianity doesn't say that. Jesus Christ never said, now if you need to, you can lie. Jesus never said that. The New Testament tells us to tell the truth, not to lie. Boy, they're shameless liars in the Muslim faith. Just shameless. Well, I really believe that as Americans, we need to stand up to these liars. If they're with the National Security Agency, they're lying. They're taping your phone calls and they're giving the raw data to Israel. Man, the Jews have influence, don't they? And the fake news, all of these news reports, I mean, almost all of them, Fox News does tell some truths. But the rest of them, they're just lying jackals. Now, let me tell you what listen to this. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I want to read it to you. You know, sometimes we just need to go back and refresh ourselves. I know you know about the Bill of Rights, but listen to this. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That means favoring one. You can't favor any of them. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The Congress can make no law that favors a religion, and it can make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So you can worship in any way you see fit. If it doesn't hurt some individual, that's up to you. If you want to be an idiot and believe in Judaism or Buddhism or Satanism or Islam, whatever you want to believe in, you have the freedom to do so. It says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. What does abridging mean? That means changing it, doing anything to prevent it, to stop it, to curb it. You can't do that. You've got absolute freedom of speech or of the press. Whatever you want to say, my friends, in an article, you can write to me and say, Tex, you're all wet. Well, okay. I'll still love you. You can say that. But if it's about Christianity, I know I'm right. I'm sorry. And I'll fight. I'll go all out telling you it's true. I have the right to do so. And Congress shall make no law, it says, abridging the right of the people peaceably to assemble. You know, these so-called anti-Trumpites are out there. They're a bunch of commie Marxists, and they're hurting people, and they're damaging buildings. That's not peaceably to assemble. If they want to be peaceful, they can go march in the streets, do whatever they want. They can act like fools that they are. It's okay. I just go out and laugh at them or watch them on TV. I say, hey, look at these people. They're stupid, but they don't know any better. I have the right to laugh at them. They have the right to assemble as long as it's peaceful. I don't have the right to take a billy club and go out there and say, I want to beat them on the head. I don't have that right. And they don't have the right to take a billy club with me either. By the way, it says also Congress shall make no law that abridges the people's right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. If you've got a grievance, you've got a complaint about the government, you can get a petition going, get people to sign it. They can't stop you. So get with it, friends. These are great freedoms. This is the First Amendment. And thank God for it. Okay, well, I guess we're about all out of time here. It's been wonderful today, hasn't it? Been great being with you. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time on the same network. Yes, tune in and discover the power of prophecy.